Hey, what's up, everybody? This is your man, Kurt Blow. Yeah, pioneer old school hip hop. You know me. Yeah, I'm representing on the Hip Hop Digest Show. Yes, 24/7. Tell somebody. Peace.
We're coming out at the end of the 90s, the golden era of hip hop, when you're doing things like Bling Bling and you guys are flashy.
Yeah.
Like, what was their pushback from people? What was people saying, "Ew, this ain't real hip hop"?
Yeah, you have people that way, but if you have an answer for everything that you do, somebody can't really say that, you know, it's not real. What Cash Money was in the beginning was it was a category. We still had categories in rap when we was doing that. You know what I'm saying? Even though we was the flashy dudes, that was our category. It was our own lane.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ Can Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
Of course, it's E Green. What's up, my brothers?
What's going on?
Good. Was goody.
So, I'm going to apologize to the listeners. I was just fucking tired last week, yo. You know what I mean?
You couldn't do this shit. You're like, I can't take no more.
So anyway, but yeah, I had to take a I had to cool out on it. But actually, it was a reason for that. I was tired or whatever. Let's see, I'm back out in the street now.
Don't say what you back out on these streets doing, son.
Back out.
Get a GoFundMe account.
what is you doing back out in these streets?
I'm back out in the.
Hope you ain't backing it up out in these streets.
Back out in the streets. Back to the sweat operation and whatever. Since in my life, I lost a lot of weight. Then I gained it all back. But now I'm getting rid of it again. So I'm back out in the streets. So
got your fucking Richard Simmons or whatever motherfucking name is. Yeah. Shorts on running around.
Oh, he really is out in these streets.
Oh,
then.
Man. Shit, if you heard that, it was a worldwide lie. So anyway, so that's why, you know, there was no show last week, but I apologize to the listeners, but that's what it was. I was just too tired and shit.
He called in sick day ass nigga.
Hey, fuck that shit, son. We're taking a day off. So,
no doubt. Happy recording day.
Happy recording day, sir. All
right. Well, let's get started. This past week, obviously, we had a lot of situations under the "We Will Remember the Great Lives That Were Lost and We Will Honor Them" on the Digest, as we usually do. So I will start with certainly Cliff Robinson, who played for 18 seasons in the NBA. He was selected in the second round in the 1989 NBA draft and played most of his career, 8 years of it, with the Portland Trail Blazers.
UConn.
And yes, went to school for and UConn, no doubt. And also played for a host of bevy of other NBA teams in his career. He actually is one of seven players, okay, to have 1,300 steals, 1,300, well, 1,000, is that right? 1,300? 1,300? You know,
yeah,
1,300. You know, I get dyslexic. 1,300 steals, 1,300 block shots over their NBA career. The others were, and listen to this list, Cliff Robinson is one of them. Kevin Garnett, Julius Erving, Dr. J, Bobby Jones, Hakeem the Dream, Olajuwon, David Robinson, and Ben Wallace.
Wow.
Of all people. So that is quite a list. Anyway, Cliff Robinson passed away at all too young, I'm afraid to say. But again, we honor you and your life, good sir, on the Hip Hop Digest. And also, come to find out, I never did know this about him. He was quite an entrepreneur in the marijuana business.
Oh.
Even during his NBA days, he was in the game.
And I bust.
Yes. So we want to say rest in heaven to Cliff Robinson. All right. The next one is, if you're in the DMV, obviously, you know it's big. Rest in paradise to John Thompson.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Simply known as Big John. Obviously, he was the head coach of the Georgetown Hoyas, who won the 1984 national championship. So before we go any more into John Thompson, I want to say that the thing about John Thompson, and I want to juxtapose that against what is the culture now. And we have a president who wants to turn the clock back and, you know, have the races separated or whatever. But in 1984, we were still pretty separated, because when he won the national championship, that wasn't no region repping shit. That wasn't no just DMV shit. That was a national black big deal. Okay? Yep. It used to be on television and sporting events. You know, when you got a guy like John Thompson, or you got a, you know, Motown 25th anniversary, these are African-American events, okay? Everybody is involved with this. There's no region repping. And I have a period picture to certify at least my aspect of it. My daughter was probably not even two. And I got a picture taken with her on my lap with a Georgetown Hoya, the original warm-up jacket. Then I remember when I got that shit, yo, niggas was like, yo. Niggas like, yo. And I don't give a fuck who it is. I seen pictures, like an old-ass Ice Cube picture. He's got a Georgetown Hoya sweater on, and niggas with the Georgetown Hoya colored shoes and Hoya, you know, baseball caps. Forget that it was a white Jesuit school in Georgetown. Forget about that. But it was John Thompson coaching. It was Patrick Ewing and guys like that on the court. It was a cultural moment for us. And he was that dude, you know?
Yep.
So I was thinking about maybe posting that picture. I don't know. Yeah, you know, I don't be posting shit like that. But I was a young boy. My daughter, my daughter's 32 now. You know what I mean? So no doubt. But anyway, John Thompson, as far as it goes, or at least as far as I know or whatever, one of the things that he was a great man, but one of the things that was great, especially if you lived in the DMV, the time in 1989, when John Thompson basically tracked down and confronted drug kingpin Raphael Edmonds III. And trust me when I tell you, in 89, 87, 89, there wasn't no name, but you knew the name bigger than Raphael. Because you knew it. Period. But anyway, he was always went to Georgetown games and became fast friends with Alonzo Mourning and another gentleman, the name escapes me right now. Oh, John Turner. Yes. He became friends with those two players. John Thompson didn't talk to the players, none of that. He went straight to the source.
He's like, get the fuck away from my players. I don't need your influence around them.
And you know,
it was ugly then, yo.
And you know, and the thing about it is that, you know, a lot of people were like, and I'm not saying, but Raphael wasn't going to do nothing to John Thompson. He wasn't going to do nothing to John Thompson other than just listen and be like, okay, yeah, I ain't going to fuck around with Alonzo Mourning like that. You know what I'm saying? And he didn't, you know. And let's talk about the players that he coached that are now in the Hall of Fame. Okay. Patrick Ewing, Alonzo Mourning, Dikembe Mutombo, John Thompson himself, and one Allen Iverson. Again, John Thompson goes to the prison. Says, we're going to get you out of jail and you're going to come to Georgetown. Again.
He's talking about Iverson.
I'm talking about Iverson. Yes, he goes to the prison. He talks to Iverson in jail. John Thompson took a lot of heat for that. You know, oh, he's recruiting thugs from jail. You know, even though AI was set up and that whole thing was foul.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But it was John Thompson. Okay? So
paid off, didn't it?
Well, I'm saying. You know what I mean? And Allen Iverson for himself, who they showed the picture. I'm sure you've seen it on the internets when, you know, getting inducted to the Hall of Fame, and John, and they hugging and the embrace, and just like, you know, every last one of his players is like, he wasn't even my coach. That's like my father.
Yep.
Like, I don't even, you know, like, if I got a life decision, I call him to get his advice. So, but anyway, so yeah, for definitely, certainly DMV cats, that's one thing, being here and we were here when that was going on. But again, the national thing, the national Black pride that took place with Georgetown. So maybe I'll post that picture. Maybe.
You know what? You post once a year. Why don't you go ahead and do that one? It's working. or send it to me and I'll put it on our shit. Whatever, B. Come on now.
No doubt.
We'll have it.
Indeed. And so, obviously, next person we're going to talk about, as we remember, we're going to remember Chadwick Boseman. Shocking, to say the least. I mean, shocking. Okay. This young man was, you know, certainly gone before his time. Now, I'm not inside the actor studio. I don't have all the whatnots. I just sort of have the highlights. 2013-42, he played Jackie Robinson. Okay. You know, and then in 2014, Get On Up played James Brown. Okay. And in 2017, he played a Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall. Now, it's one of the highlights of my life, having to meet and actually serve Justice Marshall when I was working in the neurology clinic at Naval Hospital Bethesda. Justice Marshall used to come in there all the time. It's one of the highlights of my life. And then, obviously, you know, international fame, fanfare for Black Panther, which is also, forget about region repping, this is an entire Black cultural situation, okay? No Batman and shit, no Stately Wayne Manor, no Superman, none of that shit. None of that shit, this is Black Panther. You know what I'm saying? Something you could have your grandkids and your great-grandkids sit down and watch, okay? Because trust me, there's going to be more Batman joints. There's going to be 3 or 4 more Superman joints when they get the right cat. You know what I mean?
But I'm going to put an asterisk on that, though, B.
Okay, go ahead, my man. Do you.
And this is something that I got a lot of shit. As you said, it's this particular week has been heavy as fuck.
No doubt.
But I want to say this, and I hope you guys take it the right way. And I hope whoever's listening takes it the right way. But Black Panther's not dead. There can be more Black Panther movies. I guess we can say it was maybe one of the first to be on that level. And I am very sad that Chadwick Boseman is gone. Very sad. But it's no different than when Christopher Reeves got paralyzed or any other thing. I have an issue with people putting that character with that man. It's a character, yo. And I get it. But it was just, to me, it was a lot. And maybe it was because of all the shit that was going in my head, yo. But Black Panther's not dead. Chadwick Boseman being Black Panther in that movie, the movie is iconic and it did change lives per se. But we can still see Black Panther. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I think I
get what you're saying. You could get other actors to play that part, but the only thing is, it's going to be tough because everybody now, because of his death, it's not like where Christopher Reeve was still alive. You knew why he couldn't play Superman anymore. He's gone, and it's going to be hard to, like, anybody you put in that position, any black person you put in that position is going to be scrutinized.
Because he played that shit.
Even if they do a hell of a good job on it, they're going to be scrutinized like, yeah, he ain't Chadwick.
Yeah, but see, I think you're missing the main point, is that just like a John Thompson, just like events when African American, when there's a first event, Okay. See, we're still experiencing, as a people in this country, we've been here since, you know, since the 1700s. But as a people of this country, we're still experiencing first. And that's why
that's
I said,
fucked up.
Experiencing first. So like I said, you know, whether if it's Superman or whether if it's Batman or whether if it's the Punisher. And again, I'm not big on comic books in the movies, but they're all white guys.
No doubt.
You know, except for a couple, you know, and I know Marvel got some brothers in there, but I'm just saying, but for the most part, so when something like Black Panther happens and it's such a cultural event for us, that's going down as and you're right. And I'm sure that they probably get the right guy to play that. You know what I'm saying? And we can continue that legacy. But you got to
have his sister become the new Black Panther. I wouldn't care about that. I mean, I wouldn't care, but that would be, you know, special too.
No doubt. But again, trust me, and if you get an African-American black female, same thing. It's going to be the first because we are still experiencing first in this country.
Which is crazy in 2020. Well, I get you. So yeah, it's not negative at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, as sad as it is that young man left this earth at this early age, and not only that, but people seeing a picture of him and talking crazy, you know, it's just...
It's the internet. I don't know, yo. You know how the internet is, son. Yeah, the internet will come at you strong for any little
reason.
I was
mad as fuck at that.
Yeah, I can't. I don't even entertain shit like that because that's just foolishness. But like Kirchie said, you know, it's just the net. You know what I mean? Right. But anyway, Lewis Hamilton, if you guys don't know who he is, he's the Formula One driver. Again, first. Again, we talking about first, the first brother Formula One driver. And he's been cutting the ass for the last 4 years, at least, at a minimum. Okay, he won the 2020 Belgian Grand Prix and dedicated the win to a Bozeman. Again, still talking about first. You know what I mean? Exactly. When they were talking about Denzel paying tuition or whatever, I didn't know the backstory. Again, like I said, I'm not a, you know, inside the actor studio type person, so I didn't know that Felicia Rashad was teaching down at Howard University. Okay, and that a group of her students had auditioned and was accepted to the British American Drama Academy Midsummer Program. And Bozeman was one of those students, but none of them had money to go. Okay, now Felicia Rashad, who's a veteran actress herself, she must have knew that these kids had some hellacious talent to just call up Denzel and be like, yo, I got these kids. And they need to be in Britain for the summer. And Denzel was like, okay, here you go.
Yep.
You know?
That is very special.
Oh, well, same.
And a side note to that, Denzel does a lot of that type of shit on the low that helps people.
Indeed. Indeed. So I think Mr. Bozeman's passing, unfortunately, we probably are denied of probably seeing the next guy. You know how Sidney Poitier, James Earl Jones, Denzel, and some other African-Americans, and I don't mean to skip anybody, but, you know, because there's limited roles, you know, it's usually the guy. And there ain't no Denzel still the guy, but he would have looked like he would have passed the torch to Mr. Bozeman. But unfortunately, we won't get to see that. And I was telling Kurt G, it's so surreal because I had just watched that James Brown movie.
And he played
he played the hell out of James
Dancing
Brown.
Dancing everything.
Oh, man, what? Yo, and I'm a James Brown guy, you know what I mean? And so, you know, man, rest in God's arms, my king. You know what I mean? That's all I could say about that. Rest in the Lord's arms, king. And certainly next is a personal note. Our brother E. Culler lost his father, Ronald E. Johnson Sr. I don't know if you want to say anything personal about that, but we on the Hip Hop Digest certainly want to honor his life and say rest in peace to him, and obviously our sympathies to you. You know what I'm saying? Because you hurt, we hurt, because we brothers. Sure. Yes, sir. You know what I mean? So I don't know if you got anything to say about that, kid.
I'm going to try to make it quick, and hopefully the words that I'm going to say will help somebody who was in a similar situation. He was not a dad to me. Actually, he wasn't even my biological father. So there was a lot of years, and I'll tell you, there's probably 42 years that I spent with hate, anger, sadness, and all kind of stuff. And I say 42 years because that I was 42 years old when I found out that he wasn't my father. But all of those 42 years, I just wondered, like, damn, you know, why does he not love me? Why does he this, that, and the other? And unfortunately, that other C word, not COVID, but cancer, got him too. And when my sister told me that it was grave, it was a grave situation, it was all stops put out because of who I am. I said, I gotta go to PA. You know what I'm saying? And it's one of the greatest things I've done in my life to be able to talk to him and get answers to questions that I had. Because even at almost 55 years old, I now realize that I'll never have a dad, yo. I'll never have a dad. But I can be a dad. But regardless of that, as black men in this country, we have to find a way, because I don't know how is not an excuse anymore. Fuck not knowing how. Just fucking try. Just Ed OG and the Bulldogs. Be a father to your child, yo. That's about all I can say. I'm happy I went, because I will never have that regret in my life. You know what I'm saying? That I didn't have the opportunity to talk to him. I didn't know this, that, and the other. I put a little video out of some of the stuff we talked about, but there's some really personal, deep things that I had a chance to talk to him about. And it's crazy that he left this earth, I guess, 4 days after that. So I feel good that I was able to get some of the answers. Doesn't make it right still. It doesn't make it right. But going forward, if I can tell somebody who is out here, who has a son or daughters, whatever, but definitely sons, just reach out, yo. It might, your kid might not want to fuck with you because of whatever, but inside, that kid needs you, yo. So just reach out. And on the other side, if you are that kid, no matter what age you are, and you have a fucked up relationship with your dad, reach out, yo. There's always time to change. And guess what? I had 2 days to make that change. And my life is a much different life now because of the answers I got and the conversation we had. So you ain't gotta wait till you know, middle age and all that shit. You can fix it now. It's little shit. I'm not gonna go into the personal shit we talked about, but it's little shit, yo. Just get in there. Regardless of what side you're on, whether you're the father or you're the child, get in there, yo. Reach out.
Indeed.
All right.
So that's what's good, yo. Again, rest in peace, son. And, you know, swerve. Hold your head, baby.
Well, I'll be spreading his ashes in the Pacific Ocean that I do that. So I'm very proud of that. I can't wait. I can't wait, but it's going to be a very very special moment for me.
All right. Wow. All right, yo. Well, let's get into other issues since we were out a week or whatever. I want to give a shout out to everyone in the text chain. I want to give a special shout out to 45 Friday Brothers, Jay Allen, who is the king right now.
Oh, a new is this your king?
Yeah, well, no, well, I ain't even gonna front Jay Allen, but he been
DJ Q, is this your king?
Nah, yeah, I think Q, that's you know what, and Q's my man, 50 grand. I think he absconded though, the throne.
He came in and snatched your crown from you, son.
So anyway, shout out to everybody, T-Bear, who's always in there, you know what I'm saying? And of course, you know, I try to do my part and whatnot. And so no doubt.
King Killer. Oh, this one is for Sussex Records. We're just gonna do Sussex Records this week. Or whatever the fuck.
That's his little label lesson.
No, that's 12 inch Wednesday, son. You're getting confused.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I'm just saying, this is music.
No doubt. All right, let's keep it rocking. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is McDonald's has a new meal plan.
It's called the Travis Scott meal. McDonald's, okay? Shout out to Travis Scott. Let me tell you something, man. You got to give these young bulls credit, man. More money, more money, more money. They are... Huh?
I definitely get credit for that.
Yes, man. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, McDonald's, a new meal plan. The Travis Scott joint goes on sale next week. Maybe this week. Maybe it's already at your local McDonald's. See, if I wasn't back on the Fat Boy plan, I might want to, you know, purchase one of them Travis Scott joints. You know what I'm saying? He said he's the first celebrity to have a name on a McDonald's menu since the Michael Jordan McJordan 30 wow. years ago. Mm. So
I remember that shit, too, yo, son. That McJordan shit. Oh, I got a front. That shit was kind of nasty. But it had the bacon and the barbecue sauce and shit on there, son. The shit was kind
of
nasty, son.
Oh, okay. Wow. No doubt it says Scott's version of the quarter pounder. Well, here you go. So the ingredients adds bacon and lettuce to the burger along with a Sprite and a side order of fries as well as barbecue dipping sauce.
So
okay.
It's basically the Mc...
It's the McJordan reconstituted.
Yes, the McJordan .12.
No doubt.
I thought you were going to say they slapped some spam on that shit.
So, anyway, the meal costs $6 at your local McDonald's. And speaking of McDonald's Corporation and Travis Scott are also searching for children's charities to support during the month-long McTravis Scott menu. The $6 burger, fries, and Sprite. Again, shout and congratulations to Travis Scott. Mo money.
You saying all that, but it still sounds like a travesty to me.
Oh, wow.
Fuck McDonald's and all. Fuck out of here.
Hey,
eat
look.
Right,
at the McDonald's.
Let me tell you something. The Travis Scott will tell you, yeah, that's right. I got reference tracks and cuts already made. I'm doing out here flipping real money and shit. By the time I show up in the studio, you know,
ain't nobody gonna mention no reference tracks. I don't give a fuck who they are. Nobody gonna mention that shit. Not even R&B singers. Not even fucking
country.
Wait a minute.
Hold up, B.
Nobody talking about reference tracks, B.
What do you mean nobody's gonna mention reference tracks?
Who the fuck? Tell me one motherfucking artist in the whole wide motherfucking world who ever said, "Oh yeah, when they sent me that reference track, I knew it was great." Tell me one.
First of all, they may not use the verbiage of reference tracks, but they routinely, especially regular R&B, routinely get up at the Grammys and say, "I want to thank Rod Temple-ton," or "I want to thank Ashford and Simpson. They wrote a great song." They routinely do that here.
This nigga pulled out Ashford and Simpson on our ass.
A.B.
And Rod Templeton.
Hey, son.
Yes, peace. Okay, and that might be fine, but after they thank God these days, I done made a record about killing 100 niggas with 100 guns. Thank God.
B, but the point I'm saying is that, look, you know, people right now, And the new kids, this new what are you saying? How does DMX shit? These new breed of rappers, hey man, they mind on their business and they ain't got time to be writing shit. So of course, you know, fucking, I'm coming in. The album's already done. See, they love me. They don't love my lyrics. They love me.
And there you go. You just ding, 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 and you just hit the hammer on the nail.
Oh, thanks, B.
They love them. Yeah. They don't give a fuck about anything else. Yeah. That's why it's all about the social media, all about the likes, all about the followers, my nigga. All
right, no doubt.
Yeah.
All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is your boy 50 Cent wants to forget about Gorilla Unit. 50 Cent said he has no intention. Well, he was getting interviewed. I think it was by DJ Who Kid. Yes, it was Who Kid. He was getting interviewed and said he has no interest in making a movie or any more records that would have any of the G-Unit members. That includes, but not limited to, your boy Tony Yayo, the predicate felon himself. Your boy Lloyd Banks, who has been long lost and shit. I thought he was in the FBI witness protection program. He was gone so long.
Milk Crate.
Exactly. You know, and as far as Young Buck, who has a whole litany of problems himself.
Yeah, don't even start that.
You
game.
Know what I'm saying? Exactly. And shit. He goes on to say when he was getting interviewed by Who Kid, who was confused about some of his answers because 50 went into a hard tangent talking about, you know, Kendrick Lamar is, you know, in TDE, that whole collective out there. He was like, you ever notice Kendrick don't let any of them niggas on stage with him? I mean, they may be TDE, but Kendrick don't let any of them niggas on the stage with me. He's like, I wish I had did that. Fuck bringing 30 niggas on stage. Mm. I don't know, you know what I'm saying, what I did that for. And what a fucking ingrate, though. 50.
Come on, B. Back then.
B, 50 that, is that, a that, fucking ingrate.
B, I'm giving you that 100, because that's some bullshit, son. Back then, son, he needed that. And wanted that 30 niggas on the stage to show that he had a guerrilla unit.
Exactly.
You can't have a guerrilla unit with one motherfucker.
I mean, that's that whole G-Unit, guerrilla unit, that's that jail nigga shit anyway. So Tony Yayo gives him instant credibility and shit, and then Lloyd Banks is holding it down, and then Young Buck and shit, you know what I'm saying, who Quiet Kept was probably the second best lyricist on the fucking team any fucking way. You know what I mean? So... B, what a 50. He's a fucking ingrate, yo. That's just ridiculous.
And you just learning this?
No, I'm not, but I'm just saying, okay. I'm just saying, you know, wow, you know, cats who, okay, yeah, you know, when it was the brief moment of time when, you know, and then Game was in, and, you know, him and Game was probably the only ones really, really selling records. I think Lloyd Banks had at least something, one, two joints. But come on, B, I don't know, yo. I mean, Niggas is repping for 50 to the fullest, yo.
Yeah, 50, you know what I mean? Was hot for a minute there. He had the G-Unit niggas. All them niggas' first albums on the G-Unit made some noise.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, that's unfortunate, yo. I just, you know.
And to try to go back and do revisionist history at this point in time, to act like you want to forget them niggas, like they didn't exist, like they didn't help you. Not that they helped put any money in your pocket like that. But they helped you in your image back then.
Yes. So, indeed. Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to the rest of them brothers, those XG unit guys, yo. I wonder if they'll land on their feet.
When
was G unit release?
Huh?
When was the last G unit release?
Oh, my God. I want to say 2003, man. I think.
You'd have to ask Who Kid that question.
Man, you talk about landing on your feet? Shit. Them niggas is grinding down to nothing.
Them niggas, they need to change their brakes.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
them pads is they gone.
They fucking up the calipers.
The road is just fucked up.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Midas, what's good?
We need that check, Midas.
You know what I mean? Shit. You know what I mean? So, all right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, now, you know, in the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about this whole G-code shit.
We went from G-Unit to G-code.
Yeah, you know what I mean? A lot of G in here. But we've been talking about that, yo. And... The next topic is so foul and it's so fucked up, okay, but it comes down to just talking about real honor, okay? Breonna Taylor's ex-boyfriend was offered a plea deal if he named her as a co-defendant, okay? Jamarcus Glover, Breonna Taylor's ex-boyfriend, who was hit with gun and drug trafficking charges, was offered a deal that would make his 10-year prison sentence probation only if he named Breonna Taylor as a co-defendant in his case. The Taylor family said it was disgusting. The fact that they would even try to represent that she was a co-defendant in a criminal case more than a month after she died is absolutely disgusting. The justice system... is just no, and this is what I'm saying. So, and you know what he did? I mean, his lawyers has now filed suit, okay, against the state because Breonna Taylor ain't had nothing to do with that. They trying to cover for them fucking cops who murdered her. Okay? And then, now, again, we talking about being a G, right? We talking about being a G. Now, is he the actual true G? Because he didn't. Fuck that. I'm not putting her name out there. She ain't had nothing to do with this shit. And he maintains that shit. Okay? Nah, man. We want to protect the cops, so I'll tell you what we do. Go ahead. We'll give you probation on the guns and drugs. But you got to say she was in it with you. But she wasn't.
Well, B. Fuck that. Fuck that. I don't give a fuck if she was a fucking cartel queen. She was running shit. I don't give a fuck if they ran in the house. She had 300 tons of coke and $5 million in that bitch. They murdered her in her fucking sleep, my nigga.
Yes, they did.
How the fuck they gonna justify that shit?
They trying to. See, that's the thing. They trying to. And what I want to ask you, I'm going to ask you some hard questions, Swerve.
Go right ahead.
I'm going to ask you a hard question. What do we think about your man if, and he didn't do it, but what do we think about your man if he took that deal? He a G?
If he'd have took the deal? If he'd have took the deal?
Yeah.
He'd have been Tekashi 6ix9ine.
But I don't even know if he'd have been Tekashi if she didn't really do it. And he's just doing that shit to get off and get some less time.
I guess I'm the fucked up dude today because I think it's fucked up. It's fucked up. The whole situation, all of it. But there's been shit released, like receipts released, and it's just a fucked up story, yo. They're trying to present her as a mule. You know what a mule is.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
of course.
She's being presented as that with receipts. Any of us could be caught up in anything at any given time because I have friends that are in extremely high places and I have friends that are in extremely low places. And at any fucking moment in this world, I could get a knock on the door, right? I just think that... And I just wish that the whole shit would just be clear, yo. I just wish we could see
me, no.
The clearest. But to answer your question, he is taking that no snitching shit I don't know. I said no snitching, but he is being a G. If in fact she was a mule, he is being a G.
There's no evidence of that. And like Kurt G said, even if she was, and this is the key thing, even if he was, the police murdered her, okay? If they had evidence, they come in, they get arrested, she gets arrested, that's a whole nother thing. They present evidence in the trial of, this is the way it's supposed to be, okay?
That ain't how it is.
Well, okay.
You know that. Let me ask you this. And I am, please God hear me. I am not saying anything negative about her. Okay? I'm not. But what I'm saying is that because the police are so fucked up and so ill and so foul in some situations, they have said, now I'm going to need to see hardcore facts. Right? But I saw a story just recently, and I should probably not have read this shit, but it's saying that, you know, she was dating two rival drug dealers, and when they knocked, that he shot first. This is a fucked up story, yo. It's a fucked up, convoluted, fucked up story.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I don't trust the cops.
Oh, okay, right? See, there you go. I was going to say, they have no fucking credibility on the truth.
I need video. I need their body cam. Well, they weren't even body cam because it was regular undercover shit, right? So I guess they didn't have body cams. Or did they? And then I saw, well, maybe they do have body cams. That fucks up the whole story, yo.
But at this point in time, the whole way they running this shit leads me to believe that the cops is all fucked up They just putting some shit out here to
smear up
the game, muddy up the waters, so that way they could have a reason to get off.
Yep. That's
they're
all
already,
this is.
They're already off, yo. Actually, they're not even. There's nothing to get off because they haven't been arrested.
They haven't even been charged or anything.
So there's
nothing
to get off, right? There's nothing. It's just fucked up. It, black people are dying in situations like this, yo. Just shoot first. Shoot first. You could have a white boy, and yes, I said it. A fucking white boy with a gun, a knife, a fucking killer elephant, whatever the fuck. Harassing the police and they will talk the fuck out. But a motherfucker walking to his car or opening your door or sitting in your car or jogging or whatever the fuck, you end up dead, yo. So yes, I'm giving a side eye to the fucking situation, but I need to see the whole shit and just let us get past this with the right shit happening. If those cops are guilty, get them the fuck out of there. And if this dude is gonna be a G and take the brunt of all the shit, then so be it. Whatever, you know. I want this one to end. I want this one to be over. It's causing too much drama.
But B, this is not going to be over with the way things are going right now. Not saying it's not going to be over at some point in time, but right now the way things are going, the way things every fucking looks like right now, every other week, something's popping off and somebody's getting busted or somebody's getting shot or something's happening. This shit's not going to go away. This is another name added to the fucking list of shit that's happening. So Brianna's name is just another name on the list that's going to keep on being brought up. So it's not going to go away. They're going to have to eventually at some point in time, especially when you got the likes of Oprah and Wifey bringing up Breonna Taylor and talking about this and that. You're going to have to at some point bring them cops in and charge them with something.
They ain't getting charged. I mean, I'll be surprised if they get charged because from the DA's office, the whole prosecutor, the whole fucking situation, they motherfuckers in lockstep are trying to fuck the salty and muddy the waters. So, but anyway, I don't want to talk too long on this, but I wanted to bring it up, you know, because right now he ain't going for it, B. Right now, he's like, yo, she ain't had nothing to do with this. And until I see some real fucking evidence from the authorities and not this bullshit. Right. Then I'm, you know, that's what's good.
I agree. So him being a G, take that shit, nigga, because your shit's over anyway.
Right. You might as well take it. Take it completely. And in the end, I'm still going to say I don't give a fuck, even if they come with straight receipts and a body cam or whatever. Dude, she was asleep, nigga. She ain't had
shit. No, she was not asleep. She answered the door, didn't she?
No. She was asleep.
She was Fred Hammond?
B, yes. They bust in on a no knock warrant, nigga. So
our shit's fucked up right now, B. It's been actually, what'd you say? We still dealing with first, nigga. So except for that.
This is not gonna be a first. This is a one of many.
Continuance.
Right.
Yeah. To be continued is what this is.
All right, yo, let me keep you rocking. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Public Enemy announces new album and a return to Def Jam. In a press release statement, Chuck D said cultural institutions are important. Being an integral part of one is an honor bestowed and to uphold Public Enemy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, they're back on Def Jam. Flavor Flav is like, yeah, we grew up on Def Jam. It's good to be back home. I don't know what to say about that. Yo, what the fuck's going on at Def Jam? No disrespect to Public Enemy. Public Enemy's not going to move units. None of the people that made Public Enemy what Public Enemy was on Def Jam or even at Def Jam. I seen the list of albums, got all our favorite guys on there. Beastie Boys, that type of thing. I think even Run DMC, Cypress Hill, which is all appropriate. I don't have a problem with that. But I don't know, B, what the fuck is going on at Def Jam? Eminem's management team is out the whip. And Def Jam is rudderless right now.
I don't know if this is what you would call this. Maybe this is like a nostalgia signing. Maybe this is we're trying to get back to basics. We're trying to go back and bring in some guys that people remember. Maybe we can can start to turn things around over here, because right now we're nosediving.
Oh, we're going to sign Public Enemy for a 2-day contract.
That's what it's looking like. One of them with NBA 10-day contracts or some shit, whatever the fuck.
Oh, no. Oh, wow.
Is LL coming back?
Can't live without my radio.
Wow, yo. Yeah, I don't know what's going on over at Def Jam. One of the most storied labels in hip-hop history. I don't know, yo. I mean, you have to have it a complete fucking... Hey, number one, look, let's just be honest here. Yo, no one is going to be buying regular, I mean, like underground hip-hop on a mainstream label. That's not happening. So why wouldn't you... Let's just say you just want the company name to be out there, okay? And then you figure... You know, Beaver and them niggas is barely making records or whatever. You know what I mean? Who else on the fuck? Again, we're talking about Beaver.
Justin Bieber for new people. Justin Bieber is Beaver.
He's Beaver, yeah. Justin Bieber.
Beaver on. This is what I'm talking about. Beaver. He on Def Jam. See, so first of all, that's fucked up right there unto itself, okay? You know what I mean?
Not fucked up for them.
Well, Beaver ain't even making records and shit.
Exactly.
You know what
I'm saying? He had
something come out, what, earlier this year? Or like, late
really?
Last year?
Okay, well, you know, I'm
it's
just
2020,
saying.
2020, make no noise.
And then, and ain't Rihanna still, you know, on Def Jam and shit? The Rihanna, mistress?
I know she was making, on
she
there.
Making too much money on it. She making mistress. Too much money doing other shit.
Exactly, and shit. Again, on
hold
the business.
More
money.
How did she get the title of mistress? Because I don't be paying attention. I'm just saying.
Just
the mistress.
She said mistress.
Yeah, be Rihanna, I mean, yeah.
I didn't know there was some other shit going on.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yo.
I don't pay attention.
Yeah, no, I don't really pay attention to that, but it just sound good, though. Rihanna, the mistress.
She got that island blood. She gonna cuss you out, my nigga.
Oh, shit. You could
she
be
out
my...
the whip, though. She out the music industry whip. She's doing that makeup and shit.
Yeah,
she's
making
shit.
Too much money doing other shit. So yeah, she's killing it right now.
She might cuss me out, but I'll just be honest with you. I'll be like, yo, you could be my baby mama. You could be my concubine. Oh. I mean, what's good, yo? I ain't even gonna front, yo.
And where are we going right now, son?
No, I'm getting off of that.
Round leftover.
Yeah. I'm getting off of that, yo. So that's what's good, yo. Good luck to Def Jam, and certainly good luck to Public Enemy. I don't know what's going to come of that. Probably very little, you know, just being a realistic guy about that. You know what I mean?
I still need answers from Public Enemy from that other bullshit that was going on this year.
Oh, with Flav? Be
Flav. I'm going to tell you, point blank, Flav was on them dangs. He wigged out. Chuck was kind of got tired of it, you know. Then they got Flav together. Thinking, okay, he good now, Chuck. Everything's good. That's what that was.
They got him out here for the press run.
Exactly.
It's good to be back home.
Yo, it's good. You know what I mean? So point blank, B, that let's just be honest with you, yo. Yeah, boy's probably on them things.
I hope not.
You know what I mean?
All right.
So
okay.
All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is New Lox. Okay, for those me and Kurt G, listen to the New Lox. New Lox is called Living Off Experience. And I gotta say, I always enjoy the Lox. I cannot say on LPs that or individual projects together, you know, D-Block, I don't care fuck what iteration, how I always enjoy hearing these guys, but they really are. And I know I was giving Nas a lot of credit about, you know, over Youngboy beats and giving the pathway. And then a week later, here's the Lox. But you know what? They've been putting square pegs and round holes for a good while, my nigga.
Voila!
They've been putting...
X is rough right now.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They've been putting, and this shit like this for a good bit, and they're continuing exactly what they've been doing since Puffy brang them out with the shiny
ooh
suits. And I'm not saying they on shiny suits, but what I'm saying is that they are, again, more than 20 years in a honed career. So it's T-Pain's on the record, which is not good, but you could see the Locks doing that. You know what I mean? I don't even know who the young boy is. Even if he a young boy or not, Jeremiah, that lets you know how much I follow his shit. I don't. But he on the record, and he sound like one of these regular trap singing niggas. Now, you know, maybe a motherfucker hit me later and be like, nah, nigga, you on that Neil Soul shit, you know what I mean? I don't know.
No, sir.
Okay.
Voila.
That, but the point I'm saying is that I thought the Locks was a reasonably good LP. If you're looking for that type of Locks, Nas, sort of aiming for a commercial joint, it's skippable for us. It's not tuned for our ears. It's almost the same review as Nas. You know, now it isn't classic. Now the DMX track on that bitch is crazy. I thought it was nuts. That's probably the best record on there. I mean, you know, and Swizzy is up to his old tricks. It sound like Swizz produced it. You think Swizz produced that?
I don't know.
You don't know?
It got some Swizz flavor to it, but I didn't check out the production.
See, yeah, but B, without the, there's no such thing as liner notes in the streaming era, so we don't know. You know, it's a mystery meat, so we don't know. Mm. That's all I really have to say about the Locks. I personally always enjoy the Locks. It's, you know, I could be in any setting, and the Locks come on, more than likely, I'm going to appreciate it and like it. But with the Locks, I'm always riding at an 80 percentile because 20% I'm going to be turning off. And that's just how it gets down with them for me personally. But the new album, Living Off Experience, one thing. And after listening through the album twice, the young boys always like to talk about Drake or Blackface, these other niggas throwing subliminals. But the Locks is throwing a lot of fucking subliminals themselves, my nigga. Hey, they're kind of chastising these young boys a little bit. Now, whether they pick up on it or whether they even give a fuck, that's another thing. And I was glad to see that because you really do not see even on a subliminal. I mean, young boys running around here, you know, boasting, you know, still boasting. One of them niggas on the channels and shit. I don't know who did it. Boasting, you know, Jay-Z took a loss when it came to the death of Auto-Tune. He took a loss. They're proud about that. You know what I mean? Yo,
B, let me help you.
Okay.
What young boy do you think is checking for the Locks?
None.
Okay, so none is your answer. So the Locks doing subliminals, and I'm doing the air quotes.
Yes, subliminals. Subliminals.
To none of them cats listening. It don't matter. You might as well say the names. I'm never gonna give credit for subliminals, B. I don't give a fuck who it is.
Yeah, and you
I'm
know what?
I'm not giving credit.
And I will honestly say, you know, the last show we did when I was getting on, you talking about nigga, you out. But I will give you credit for this. You have always first and foremost said fuck a subliminal. Name names.
Okay. Name names.
Now. They were saying the names were getting named, and the person who was getting named wasn't getting named, meaning that they were saying a lot of subliminals, like all y'all cats coming up trying to sound like Wayne, and all y'all cats trying to do what Wayne. I heard that like two or three times in the record. Yeah, I guess they were giving Wayne a big up, but saying fuck these niggas who trying to be like Wayne, and that's a whole generation.
Huh? Wayne ain't even the whip now, B.
Wayne's still on the whip. I mean,
where?
What now? That shit might be on ball tires, you know. Oh. But he's still on the whip though.
Oh, undisputed.
So okay, G. I mean, you ran through the joint, you know. I mean, tell me what's good.
Yeah. I listened to it and I did the old. King Killer thing.
The smell test.
I gave it the 1 minute smell test per track. So with the 1 minute, and I'm just naming the joints that I like by track number. So track number 4, called Bout Shit, that was the one with DMX. That track, I thought that was fire. I like that track. I did like that track. And track number 6, And what happened, well, let me go ahead and backtrack this. I listen, I say Lox. And when I hear Lox together, I'm thinking of D-Block. I'm thinking of all the mixtapes and all the shit that these niggas gotta be in the world record for all the mixtapes these niggas was putting out back in the day. They was heavy in the mixtape game.
Yes.
Especially after they left Bad Boy. That was they hustle. They was making a lot of mixtapes and shit. So I like to fuck with Lox too. I liked them a lot back then because they was on that hard white, as we like to say. They talked a lot of that shit. And when I hear the Lox get back together and do things, I'm thinking of that level of what they are, but they're older now. And I'm thinking more on even a eerie level when I'm listening to them, like, nigga, y'all ain't still doing that shit. I know you're not. I mean, I know it sounds good and everything and all of that, but come on, nigga, y'all ain't on that no more. I know you can't be. Y'all kids maybe, and I'm hoping that they ain't, because they should have been at another level too. But I'm like, nah, B, I know y'all ain't still like that.
Voila.
But either way, musically speaking, I did like. But how many tracks did I like? 5 tracks out of 14 tracks I liked out on the album. And like I said, the bout shit number 4 came on. The first 3 tracks, I'm listening and I'm going, these niggas is they. I'm gone. I'm done. I can't fuck with them. Then bout shit came on. I'm like, okay, they stepping it up. All right, I like this. Then 5 came on, they lost me again. At track 6, I really thought these niggas was about to take it to the hip-hop land. I really thought, track 6 is called Story. That shit sound like some real boom bap. I said, oh, these niggas, okay, now they're getting ready to get into the whip and start taking me down memory lane. But no. Track 7, they went back off track again. Track 8, the comeback joint I thought was okay. I was like, okay, that was all right. And then track 9, Think of the Lox, that was the one they put out with Westside Gunn and them. I was like, okay, well, that one's cool. But then 10 and 11, I was done. Track 12, they shouldn't have fucking done that track at all. I'm like, what the fuck are y'all niggas doing? Track 12 was called Dirty. I wrote it down. It's called Dirty, track what it's called. And I'm like, I put no next to that motherfucker because they shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, that was a pretty bad.
That was their attempt at being on some Drake Caribbean style bullshit.
Yeah, that was
I'm
pretty
like,
bad.
Come on, son. That is not your lane in no sense of the imagination.
Yeah, that was
you
that
should
was,
never have done that track.
Yeah,
that
shit
was
pretty bad.
Straight trash. I'm like, stop it. And then 13, I said, fuck it. 14, I guess I was so beat down that 14 sounded better to me that I gave 14 some love called Loyalty. I was like, okay, I can fuck with 14. But overall, this album probably gets a C minus, and that's only because it's the Lox.
Yeah,
and these niggas can really rhyme. I really feel like these niggas can rhyme, and if you gave them better beat selection, as in the track 6, Story, that them niggas was flowing on that track.
Yeah, see, and I'm going to give it a, if I had to give it a letter grade, I'm going to give it a B minus. And the reason it's a B minus, because I love them three together and in the flow. And so, yes, I'm dismissing, it's on a curve. It's on a curve for love for them kids. And the fact that when it gets right down to the brass tacks over... When it gets down to the brass tacks, over lukewarm, tepid, warm beats, but the chops is still there.
Yes. Now, if I'm only giving them straight grade on straight lyrics, I would give them a B on straight being able to still spit.
Y'all motherfuckers moving the curve like a motherfucker.
But I'm not moving
what
shit. I'm giving them a C minus, my nigga.
Ain't no ifs.
They got a C minus. I gave them a C minus.
Wait. Okay, C minus. King Killer.
I gave him
a
B minus.
On the strength of the album itself, not what could have done all that. The album itself, the strength of the album.
No. And that's what I'm saying. I admitted it. I'm like, I graded on the curve. I'm admitting it. For me, King Killer on the curve because the only reason why they got a B minus, because I tell you what, because lyrically they are still sharp as a tack. Now, that being said, Kurt, it's really more close to what Kurt G, C minus, because the beat wise, that Caribbean shit, nigga, they should have left that shit up there. And then the Jeremiah and the T-Pain, and I think it's like one more R&B cut up there. But tell me the Locks haven't done that every time. And Puffy trained them for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I listened to a few tracks off the album. I didn't sit and listen to the whole thing. But the ones I listened to, yeah, I'd have been on that mid-level grade, yo. That mid-level. It wasn't outstanding to me. It wasn't remarkable to me. And yes, it is the Locks. And we know it's a mixed bag, because if they rhyming about that shit on the block at this stage in their careers, that's a problem, yo. That's a problem for me. And maybe that's why, and not to get off topic too far, but maybe that's why I fuck with the 444 Jay-Z. Because he's not talking that drug dealer shit. And he did that for a long time. And it sailed lovely for him. But at some point, yes, if we went to see them somewhere on a spot and they was rhyming their old shit, yes. But new shit coming out, yo, I don't want to hear you doing that, B. And I did hear a few joints. So I was like, ooh, let me go ahead past that. So I don't really have a grade because I didn't hear the whole thing, but I don't know.
We can get Hov out them fucking leisure suits. We was doing something.
At this point, I just can't go for him to cut his damn hair. I'm good.
Damn! Why you fucking with niggas, man? Yo, B, embrace your African roots, nigga.
I don't mind embracing the African roots. At least shape that shit up, my nigga.
Nah, man.
He's a billionaire. He don't give a fuck.
Exactly. He don't give a fuck what I'm saying.
Nah, he don't.
He looked like in 1999, nigga. So I'm saying it don't matter.
Shit, nigga, it don't even matter. Wifey mandating that shit anyway, so don't worry about it.
So, it's a change.
Yeah, don't worry about it. All right, gentlemen. All right, gentlemen, so let's not waste the listeners' time. You know what they want to hear. They want to hear Kurt G's world famous albums of the week.
All right. And I got to do a double take on this one because I didn't have my shit with me the last time.
Well, let me say this while you do what you know. Are you ready? You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, go ahead, and I'll say something after that.
Okay, then. Yeah, like I said, I didn't have my shit with me the last time, so I got to do the albums of the week from the last show that we did and from this show. So that way people will, it was on there, but I didn't announce them. So the last show that we did prior to this one was Jux Diamonds and the Bad Seed FTN. That was Jux Diamond and the Bad Seed FTN. Then we have Fortified Mind and Noetic Quality. That's Fortified Mind and Noetic Quality. And the instrumental joint was Nickel Man Butter Wax. That was Nickel Man Butter Wax. And then this week's show, it's George Fields Tomorrow's Son. That's George Fields Tomorrow's Son. Then we got One Plus, which consists of Phil the Beat and DJ Tricky. One Plus One EP, that's One Plus One, which is Phil the Beat and DJ Tricky, One Plus One EP. An instrumental joint is Fourth Assassin Instruments from Destruction. That's Fourth Assassin Instruments from Destruction.
All right, Swervin', you're on.
Yeah, I want to say this to a couple of our listeners that say they turn us off. But they don't turn us off. They turn a show off when the music comes on. I will say this. And my brother in New York, you know I'm talking to you specifically. You are missing out, yo. Because we talk what we talk for 40 minutes or whatever it is, but these cuts that are played at the end, yo, that is just another piece of the Hip Hop Digest show. Kurji, shout out to you, sir. This is another aspect of our show where if I wasn't a part of this shit, I would be listening weekly. Not just to hear what y'all talking about, but to hear that fucking hip-hop music. Hip-hop music, yo. We all agree. Yeah, Kurt, that's your lane. But I, to this day, can't sit here and say, well, yeah, Kurt, I wasn't fucking with that. No, it's hip-hop, and this is the Hip-Hop Digest show. So do yourself a favor and listen to the music, yo. If you don't, just fast forward if you don't like it. But it's pure hip-hop. It's pure, pure, pure hip-hop. Don't hold yourself out on that shit, all right? That's all I got.
Yo, man,
it's not on that Spotify playlist, man. I can't fuck with it, yo. I can't fuck with it, yo. What? Yo, I woke up, yeah, I wasn't in my DMs. I can't fuck with it, yo. I just can't fuck with it, yo. It's just not on my timeline, yo. How can I fuck with it, yo?
You want that whack, that WAP, that whack-ass production? I
Nah, B, I'm just trying to tell you, son. You know, what? What do you mean? What am I going to do? Independently judge this shit, nigga? If it's not on any of the four major joints, I can't fuck with it. I mean, I'm just saying, yo. You know what you sound like? You know what you sound like? You sound like,
what sound like?
You sound like a cat, right? You come from the record store, right? Joints banging. By the 12 minutes, joints banging, right? Fuck, turn on the radio and shit. The joint that's on the radio, you show up at the barbecue and shit, but they gonna wanna hear the joint that's on the radio. Yo, listen to this joint, it's kinda banging. Yo, I don't wanna hear that shit. This shit ain't on the radio. So, therefore, all the things I just listed, you know. Listen to that shit for? Who approved me to listen to that?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, I didn't get approved to listen to that.
See? Well,
and y'all and y'all broke ass dinosaur niggas, I'm certainly not gonna be busting no rocks for y'all niggas, Barney and shit. You know what I'm saying? Pterodactyl, Victrola, scratching and cutting and shit.
Kurt G, I'm Mikey. Hey, Mikey, he likes it.
Damn. You know what they say about Mikey? He'll eat anything.
Well, not anything.
So you're right.
I'm gonna give this answer since I'm the balance. I still appreciate niggas for listening, even if they don't listen to the music.
There you go.
No doubt. Indeed. So that's what's good. All right, gentlemen. So, you know, we'll focus in for next week.
Shout out to my Felipe's Garage Brothers. Shout out. King Nesto Cookbook. What up?
Peace.
One.
On your block, except I'm pushing insulin instead of crack rock, so don't be fucking indolent, line up in that spot. Pardon my insolence, but you need what I got. $1 million shot in your belly if it was up to Martin Shkreli. The whole thing's starting to get smelly. It's overpopulation in the morgue while they're plotting to become cyborgs. This ain't sci-fi, I hope it's more than porn in your Wi-Fi. Why die? Every day's a gift and they fly by. Like the ads controlling what the culture's buying, so they can slow down the rate at which we multiplying. They well aware the members of their cult are dying, circling above us like a bunch of hungry vultures flying. We should all want private insurance. Why? So we could die and not survive with endurance? Big Pharma will define his legacy as damaging to all of our lives' expectancies. This ain't a party record, but I had to record it, cause my people gonna do better and I'm here for it. Here's to your health, and here's to getting help if you need it. The machine's eating us, but we continue to feed it. No way should my copay be so high. No way should my copay be so high. And here's to your freedom, and here's to making bail if you need it. At least they can't lock us up no more for getting weeded. No way should my copay be so high. No way should my copay be so high. Yo, I thought my rights was unalienable. Why you hoarding all of the rights? Save me a few. Some say that hustling's the easy solution, but not everyone can do the shit you see me producing. But how you not gonna do what you gotta do when the doors to the school and hospital are always locked to you? For decades they said weed was evil, till brothers started getting that cake, now shit is legal. The devil's plan, it'll fuck you up mentally. Now it's $20 a gram at the dispensary. Meanwhile, so many of my brothers got crime tags, and some are still sitting in jail for selling dime bags. The scene on the streets is looking morbid, while support is only given to the ones who can afford it. This is sordid. If you're poor and if your neighborhood is boarded, then you probably get ignored and only tragedies reported. It makes me think how many people got deported because they transported cocaine the politicians snorted. This ain't a party record, but I had to record it because my people gonna do better and I'm here for it. Here's to your health and here's to getting help if you need it. The machine's eating us, but we continue to feed it. No way should my copay be so high. No way should my copay be so high. And here's to your freedom and here's to making bail if you need it. At least they can't lock us up no more for getting weeded. No way should my copay be so high. No way should my copay be so high.
Wake up, I'm on a mission, got me fishing for a better life. Ambition keeps me going cause I'm knowing we don't get it twice. Envision the precision when I'm spitting seven mics. Trying not when the iron's hot, better strike. Jotting in my journal so the lyrics are eternal. My stomach's in inferno, can't let the flame die. Hope they paint a mural of me when I'm gone so my spirit will live on, be reborn for the paint dry. Aim high, anything you want is possible. Manifest it in your mind, conquer any obstacle. Be unstoppable, giving up what you're not gonna do. People can't keep a secret, careful who you talking to. Same ones who give you dap, quick to stab you in the back. Loyalty is gone cause there ain't nobody honorable. Keep it moving, head high in this crazy world. Hold my people down, love my family and my baby girl.
Life is a beautiful thing. I work, no play, I'm a grind every day. Yeah. Life is a beautiful thing. I don't really have it made, so I'm working to get paid. Life is a beautiful thing. I work, no play, I'm a grind every day. Life is a beautiful thing. I don't really have it made, so I'm working to get paid.
Look at where I'm at, thinking, nah, this ain't good enough. Won't settle or adapt, boil over like I could erupt. Never giving up, give it everything I got. Really shouldn't interrupt. If you want, go ahead to watch. Looking for a better life, feeling like I'll never rise. However, I a devil with the truth, not a clever lie. Gotta get it now, not sure I get a second chance. Grab the bull by the horns, leave nothing to circumstance. I want more than enough, I wouldn't call it greed. Call a planner for the future, cause that's all that I see. The difference between eating good and eating crumbs. I move like a king, I won't argue with the bum. I've seen the dark side, looking forward to a brighter day. Focus on doing good, think about the sins in my race. I gotta find a way, I'm good, now I'm wanting more. Talent gets ignored, gotta get my foot inside that door.
Life is a beautiful thing. I work, no play, I'm a grind every day. Yeah. Life is a beautiful thing. I don't really have it made, so I'm working to get paid. Life is a beautiful thing. I work, no play, I'm a grind every day. Life is a beautiful thing. I don't really have it made, so I'm working to get paid.
To Tamika, she's a freak of 5'7". Back when I was younger, she was something of my heaven. Daughter of a reverend, wasn't no one getting closer. Listen to her daddy, always did what God told her. But when she's gotten older, all the curtains will reveal that daddy was a player, everything became real. Gone was the illusion, gone was all his words. Gone was hallelujah, gone was proverbs. Welcome to the rivers, welcome to the herbs. Welcome to the mountains, singing with the birds. Welcome to the city, party with the kids. Shots into your system, show her where you live. A million miles away, she reminiscing of a day when life would play itself in school. The dip a loyal of Olay within the world is where she lay. A mix of yesterday and of tomorrow where she say that everything is not okay. But still, when I see her, her eyes still be mine. Me, your better times, and then I go into rewind.
From the world, the tune, I got it soon. The road, the tune is in your view. Driving down the backwards road, it's cold, but could be beautiful.
I wanna, ooh, gotta, nah, not a damn chance. Move, father, can I maybe take a hand? You swatter, guy that was here to be forever, fade. Gone were the days that I loved her. Guess I'm getting older and some things I have discovered. Never be too nice, guard your own emotion. Sometimes keep her guessing, never be too open. Chapters that I lock and make sure no one ever picks it. She may use it against me, or maybe she won't get it. Things that I exhibit are defying all the wicked things I seen when I was a kid and didn't make me what I isn't. Never been a guy, Clark Kent was my facade. Casually in time, I'm always walking by your side. To protect myself, I put a distance in our lives. Experience a teacher only written for the wise. Broken many times, so when you look into my eyes, noticing the difference, I'm not the same guy. You're not the same girl, it's not the same world. Though we belong together, she said to my surprise.
From the world, the tune, I got it soon. The road, the tune is
and your view. Driving down the backwards road is cold, but could be beautiful. I wanna, ooh, gotta, nah, not a damn chance. Move farther, can I maybe take a hand? You swatter, guy that was here to be forever fade.
That truth, tramp on the track.
Heard it through the grapevine. Oh, I heard it.
Yep.
Let me tell you that I heard it through the grapevine.
Oh, I heard it.
Don't you know that I heard it through the grapevine.
Oh, I heard it. I'm about to lose my mind, man.
Just about to lose my mind.
All right, here we go. The other night in the car on the way home, heard a ring, I picked up the phone. It was Sib on the line, sup daddy yo. Maintaining my G, you know how it go. I'm just leaving the lab, laying down the track. And by the way, Wood asked if you could call him back. What's good? He said he wanna follow up the conversation we had when we was in the truck. You mean about Stetsasonic? Yeah, let me think. Man, to tell a whole story, I might need a drink. Definitely ain't cool that I drink and drive. Hung up the phone, said I'd call him back in 25. Things changed since we started back in 84. And DBC ain't even touring with the band no more. And it's been a lot of talk about us being split. Wish we was bonded like E-40 shot and be legit.
Heard it through the grapevine.
People be talking, man.
Let me tell you that I heard it through the grapevine.
It's like a grapevine. You know how a grapevine be going all the way up the fence. A lot of talk. About to lose my mind.
Just about to lose my mind.
I called back after duffing down a bourbon neat. I said, you listening, Sib? You should take a seat. I'ma tell the whole story, I ain't holding back. Most of it was dope, some of it was whack. Started out, me and Delight would travel around with Wise. He would kick the beat and D and I would kick the rhymes. We would roll around the city into competitions. We was killing it too, we was on a mission. We won a record deal and added Paul for Juan and DB. And later Bobby with the drums, so far nothing seedy. First album was dope, second one the same. Right before we made the third, things start to change. Me and Paul ended up in the producer chair. Fuquan left from an argument by what to wear. Hello, Hasib, yo, my brother, you still on the line? What I'ma tell you next gon' blow your fucking mind.
Heard it through the grapevine.
Oh, I heard a lot of things.
Let me tell you that I heard it through the grapevine.
People be talking.
Don't
people
you know
be yapping.
I heard it through the grapevine.
Yep.
Heard it. Just about to lose my mind.
Fuquan and Paul joined RZA with the Gravediggers. Wise took his family, moved to Virginia. DB moved to Philly, Delight did too. Now he back in New York, Bobby never moved. All the while I felt resentment underneath the surface. And all I did was follow God and try to live my purpose. As of late, we've been touring and I hope it lasts. Because I ain't reliving demons that was in my past.
Heard it through the grapevine.
Heard it all.
Stan
broke up.
You
had a rumor that Wise was dead.
Don't you know that I heard it through the grapevine?
Oh, I heard it.
Just about to lose my mind. Heard it through the grapevine.
Oh, I heard it.
Let me tell you that I heard
can't
it.
Can't listen
through
to everybody.
The grapevine.
Oh, I heard it. Don't
you know that
truth.
I heard it through the grapevine.
Oh, I heard it.
Just about yeah. To lose my mind.
right, picture this. The party scene and yo, maxin' and relaxin' in your favorite jeans. The DJ's fresh, you got neon lights. The crowd's groovin' to the beat, all right. Now just imagine, the place was packed and everybody was dancing back to back. Just a movin' and a groovin' and a doin' the thing while the DJ makes the record sing. I like this.
Yeah.